RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Every week, I, Rob Abel, like to go through a weekly review of emails, interesting patients, and current literature. Some of these subjects may touch a sensitive soul or part for you. It may involve something you do, or even some thoughts you've had, or a sense of awareness. So many things come up during the week, one of which is a common eye drop, which is the mildest steroid, but stronger than an antihistamine, is now being recommended for protecting the eye and the surface of the eye in people with dry eyes. I've long been using this instead of the other synthetic steroids or the strong ones so that people get an anti-inflammatory effect while nurturing the eye in dry eyes and blepharitis. Of course, there are other things now like Avenova, artificial tears, punctal plugs for dry eyes. I was contacted recently by a company about an artificial cornea. We have people who have cornea transplants because of significant corneal disease, but there is a long healing time. It requires healthy tissue, and there's always the chance, although remotely, of infection, but more commonly of rejection. Having an artificial cornea, like having an artificial hip or even an artificial implant for a lens, would be a great boon to society, especially the developing world. And so the company came to me and said, should we be making such a thing, and how many cases are there a year? How many artificial corneas would people use? I said, well, there are about 50,000 cornea transplants done in the United States, and there may be 2,000 artificial corneas in the current model being used. I said, but your goal should not be that. It should be people with corneal blindness. Because if you can give people in 20 minutes an operation that they can see the next day, not have a rejection, not have to put drops in their eye the rest of their life, like the current artificial cornea, you have changed the entire paradigm. So don't look at what is, look at what can be. Also looking at what can be, I was thinking about violence and eye injuries around the world, and even in this country. And it's based on a lot of psychological issues. So I think that maybe we should classify violence as a medical disease. Psychosis, alcoholism, smoking, anxiety, all of them were never considered medical diseases for the longest time. But if you can consider something as a medical disease, then maybe we can look at prevention in society. A couple interesting articles came out the past week. One is something that's so obvious to you all, is looking at the color of the eye drop for glaucoma patients. When you ask them what drops you're on, they can't tell you those 16-letter names with Z's and X's, but they could tell you it's the light purple top or the bright blue, and that we would have a color code to know exactly what they're talking about. And they would know that they use the bright blue twice a day and the purple one only at bedtime. So being able to communicate with all members of the healthcare field and with the patient is extremely helpful. Even to be able to call the pharmacist and say, I need more of the purple cap. Can I have my refill? That would be a great benefit. Also, a great benefit to patients with primary glaucoma, called primary open-angle glaucoma, is the fact that we've reviewed all of the different eye drops in terms of their effectiveness as a first-round treatment. Meaning, what drop would you use the most for the most people because it was the most effective? And they found that prostaglandin inhibitors, Travitan, Lumigan, Xalatan, Latanoprost, they were the leaders in all ways of the lowest pressure, and they were a single drop administration a day, usually at bedtime. So that was the most effective and the most convenient as a one a day. Next came two different timolol and levobunolol, two different drugs that lowered intraocular pressure a little different way, but were also reasonably effective. After that, other ones were a little bit less effective and had to be used two or three times a day. So if you have glaucoma, you have asthma and heart disease, you don't want timolol, you want a prostaglandin inhibitor. And if you're young and you're healthy and do not want to use the one at bedtime because it could give some red eyes, you use the timolol or levobunolol. So these things are knowledge-based, and hopefully your doctor or your glaucoma specialist will be glad to share that information with you. Thyroid disease, especially low thyroid, is endemic in people, especially postmenopausal females. People will say, but my thyroid studies are normal. One of the reasons they're normal is they test the protein and they don't test the activity, i.e., they test the structure but not the function. And that's because chlorine and fluorine knock the iodine off of the protein molecule, so it is rendered ineffective. And especially in the elderly, we get these false readings. One thing you can do on your own is look at your symptoms. Do you have dry skin, hair falling out, deeper voice, can't lose weight? Put a thermometer under your armpit for 2 minutes before you get out of bed in the morning. And if it's 97 or below, you're low in thyroid. That'll help you and your doctor. Chickenpox and shingles vaccine is now becoming associated with red eyes. Well, it's an immune stimulant, and the eye is sort of hidden from your immune system and can get something called inflammation in the eye, iritis, or even conjunctivitis. So know that that's a possibility, and it may need to be treated ahead of time with topical steroids. 83-year-old gentleman comes in with 20 minutes of peripheral vision loss. He only has a tube of vision centrally for 20 minutes, and the rest is gone. Well, that sounds like stroke or transient ischemic attack, but how does it happen in two eyes at once? Well, the odds are it is a migraine, and it can present itself very different ways. But the time period and the fact that central vision was preserved implies that it was not significant. Nonetheless, they do have to be tested. Floaters. What do you do for floaters? Well, first you differentiate. Are they the usual posterior vitreous detachment or synaresis? And then you treat people with 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Help recollagenize the vitreous, the gelatin in the eye behind the lens and in front of the retina. Vitamin C. Recurrent erosions. Someone comes in, what do you do when it keeps breaking down from a previous injury? Scratch, child's fingernail, etc. The answer is contact lens the first time. If it keeps coming back, you take a sharp, tiny needle and do a couple pinpricks there, and it will heal in very nicely. 75-year-old gentleman says, I'm losing vision with glaucoma. With macular degeneration, with increasing drusen. What do you do? Well, you take nutrients. And eye care is important to know that there are many nutrients that are good. My particular one is Eye Complex CS. You can get it at eyecomplexcs.com. And if vision really gets worse, stem cells are going to be the future. Someone asked me, they're going to the best doctor and getting 50,000 IU of vitamin D2 for my MS. The doctor never told them to take it with fat. If you don't take it with fat, you do not absorb it. Fat-soluble vitamins need fat. Well, some things are rather simple. Some things are complicated. I try to share with you in these sessions some of the interesting items. Well, this is Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. For this segment or any of my previous segments, go to my show page on RadioMD.com. Thanks for listening. Stay well, see well, and keep thinking well.